So today's message is entitled Roots. Roots on the 2nd of August 2026. I'm going to start with a scripture from Job, one of the oldest books in the Old Testament. And it sounds very down in the mouth, which after what we've just prayed about is probably appropriate, but also full of hope as well. So let's just tune into Job 14, 1 to 17, which reads, "Man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Do you fix your eye on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from impure? No one. Man's days are determined. You, God, have decreed the number of his months and have set limits that he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone until he has put in his time like a hired man. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. If only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger has passed. If only you would set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait for my renewal to come. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. Surely then you'll count my steps, but not keep track of my sin. My offences will be sealed up in a bag. You, God, will cover over my sin." Job is a man who speaks tragedy and hope almost in the same breath. He sees the pain and futility of life on earth and yet looks beyond all that to the hope of forgiven sins and eternal life with his Creator. I guess we all have that kind of experience in this world. A mixture of pain and sadness mixed with intermittent periods of laughter and joy. And the thing about Job is that although he got as low as it's possible to get, he never actually gave up hope in God. And even though he argued that he was a righteous man, he didn't deserve all this pain, he'd done no wrong. When things got tough, when Satan was allowed to test him and take away almost everything that God had blessed him with the exception of his wife and his faith. And even then he refused to give up hope, even though he cursed the day that he was born. That's pretty low, isn't it? And having a wife that makes a suggestion that he should consider cursing God and dying, well, that was something that he had to resist and get over as well. We all need hope, and we all need to feed our faith, especially when times get rough. We read, didn't we? It says, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, and so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. At least there is hope for a tree. I'm seeing local trees suffer these days due to the drought we're experiencing. Leaves are already turning yellow. We've recently lost two trees in our garden, almost certainly due to lack of water. I've had to cut them down for logs and burn the thinner branches. You know, it hasn't rained properly now for about 4 or 5 months. We've had a hosepipe ban since early July. It's considered to be the driest year nationally since 1868. That's 158 years. I'm beginning to wonder now, what would happen if it didn't rain again this year? Can you imagine how that would affect us? The place is always already going up in flames, isn't it? Countries on the continent and crops and heathland, moorland, all starting to ignite. How would it affect us? How would it affect the farmers? How would it affect anything, everything? I mean, my car's mucky now, but it's going to be caked and caked in muck. So what? Car's not important. But has it ever occurred to you that this might not just be climate change? It might not just be global warming. Perhaps, just perhaps, it's another warning, like the one that the Israelites got from God a long, long time ago. Let's read from Deuteronomy. Not many people read from Deuteronomy, but here we go. Deuteronomy 11:10 to 28. This is God speaking to the people who were leaving Egypt and entering the promised land. And this is what God said to them. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, that is to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land that the Lord is giving you. Now fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as in the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you, and the Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land, wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and the curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. We used to be the UK. We used to be a very powerful nation and empire, but not so now. What has happened? What's caused that to happen? Are we under a curse as a country? Or are we just having several years of bad luck or poor government? Is it a case of times and seasons, or is it something far more serious? For example, the Office of National Statistics estimates that the total population of England and Wales is about 6.5% Muslim now. In Birmingham, it's around 30%. In Bradford, it's 31%. In Luton, it's 33%. Blackburn and Darwin is 35%. And Newham in London is 35%. And in Tower Hamlets, London, it's about 40% population of professing Muslims. Is this partly why King Charles is trying to keep his neighbours happy? I'm going to quote back again. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. So I ask you today, where are your roots? The roots that you have, are they dry? Do they need watering? Would you know how to water your roots? What am I talking about? It'll become apparent. The flowers in pots around our house are still doing well because we're allowed to water them still. But the lawn is not a lawn anymore. They say that grass will always come back, but this year I'm not that sure. The trees are suffering, some more than others. We have a very tall eucalyptus tree at the bottom of our garden, and it looks quite happy so far, mainly because it's a tree that originates from Australia. And they're designed to cope with hot, dry, arid conditions. They say that the roots go down into the ground as far as the tree towers above it. That probably explains how it is able to stay in contact with water, as the water table around it isn't too deep. It's somewhere between 1 and 3 meters, which isn't very deep at all, depending on the season. And the reason is because of the floodplains from the River Bain and the Witham. So you don't have to go far down to get water. But if your roots are short, it's out of reach. Let's look at someone looking for water in the Bible. There's lots of them, actually, because water wasn't on tap in those days, was it? You had to work to get it and work to carry it home. It would have been seen as a very precious commodity for that reason alone. Let's read about one story about collecting water from John 4:7-15. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is it that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." This woman, this Samaritan woman, didn't realize who Jesus was at first. But as Jesus revealed himself to her, she began to realize that he was, in fact, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That woman would still need to get water on a daily basis, just like us. But from that time onwards, she knew that there was such a thing as the water of life, which Jesus can give to anyone who sincerely asks him for it. A person who trusts in Jesus has no need to worry about the future. They know that the Lord will provide everything that they need to live the life that God has granted them. Whether they have long roots or short roots, the important thing is to know what, and more importantly, who your roots are growing into. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, verses 4 to 8. "Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger," said God, "and it will burn forever." This is what the Lord says: "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." I asked you earlier, where are your roots? People say that their roots are, for example, in Yorkshire. Like me, I'm a Yorkshire man, my roots are from Yorkshire, or Lancashire, or Ireland, or Italy, or the United States, or Australia. Where are your roots? That may well be where you were born and where you grew up, the place you look back to. But right now, today, where are your roots now? Your roots are what keep you stable. That's why trees don't fall down. Your roots keep you stable. They keep you anchored. They keep you fed. They keep you watered. They keep you confident. It doesn't matter where you came from. Without good roots in Jesus, The winds of life might blow you over, or be incapable of providing what you need in times of testing. And there will be times of testing. We can't avoid that. True, you are born with some kind of roots, but there's still time now, today, to change what you're rooted into. If you weren't born in the kingdom of God, and you weren't, then you can be. You just need to be born again. Jesus will take care of your roots. Not because he's a hairdresser, ladies, but because he meets all your needs. So look at your roots. Are they dry? Are they strong enough to keep you through the drought? Are you going to make it on your own? Or do you need to put your roots deep into Jesus and his word? Do you need to stand on something strong? Do you need to feed off his word? To put your hope in him and his promises? If your roots are dry today, no matter where you came from, you can do something about it. You can put your hope in the living God. You can put your hope in Jesus. Because one day it's going to be difficult to be what we are in this land. Father, I just pray you bless this message and make it clear into people's hearts, Lord, what you are saying. You are calling us, Lord, to put our hope in you, to trust in you, to confess our sins to you, Lord, and accept you as Lord and Saviour, that we would not accept foreign gods, gods who are not gods, prophets that are not prophets. There's only one name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved, and that name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. The one who we remembered at communion today by taking the bread and the wine, remembering his body and his blood shed for each one of us here. Our hope is in you, Jesus, and our future is in you. Feed our roots, we pray. Make us strong for the days ahead, whether it's drought or flood. It could be either. But Lord, we look to you for your blessing and your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.